Be seated. When we finished our series, the first part of our series in Ephesians, we ended chapter 3 kind of in the way Paul began it in chapter 1, and that he bookends for us, if you remember, these two expressions of trust. What does it look like for us to practice trusting in God? And so Paul shows us through prayer and through worship. So as I was thinking about this week, and Joe and I worked together on this weekend, one of the things that has always bothered me about this time of year is that I long to recapture. I'm not living for the future Thanksgivings enough in my life. I'm looking back on them. And while I think looking back is always great because it helps shape our gratitude, looking forward and creating moments for us as a church and for us as families who make up this church, I think are equally important. And so I thought, in recent history, and my guess is my experience isn't too different from you, that Thanksgiving has become just that blur holiday. It's the holiday that's a blur as we're trying to combine Christmas, and again, the Christmas decorations are already up and we're already shopping early because of all the stuff that's going on in the world. And so we're already wrapping our mind and have been around Christmas. And it's not that out of the norm just because of the recent circumstances that we've been going through. And if we're not careful, we'll miss a very pivotal holiday moment for us, I think. So we want to slow down today. We want to do things different today. I chuckled about this because when I was talking with Joe about doing something different, where we have a service today to where we're going to do those two things. We're going to do today in this service what Paul has given us the example of doing. We're going to worship and we're going to pray. And I thought, you know, the cynical person in me, if I were you sitting there going, well, Dale just wanted a weekend off. He didn't want to preach, so he didn't have to come up with a sermon. Trust me, Joe and I have worked harder in some ways on this service than we would on a normal weekend because it is, for us, out of the norm. So here's what I want to invite you to do this morning. I want to invite you to enter a time of prayer, to enter a time of thanksgiving. Now, don't be frightened about that, okay? I get it. It may feel like I've sprung an exercise class on you this morning, or I've said, we're going to have an impromptu spelling contest. No, that's not what I mean here at all. I want you to be comfortable. You can stay right where you are and pray by yourself, or you can take the hand of the person next to you. Or if you're here with a family or a group, you can come together. You can huddle up and you can spend some time as the scriptures direct us in prayer this morning as a group. You can pray audibly. You can kind of speak. That's not going to be distracting. Or you can come down here. You can join me in the front. And I'd invite you, if this is something that you've been longing to do, and that is to come forward. There's something about coming forward and praying that you're welcome to join me down here and pray and do that this morning as well. I will guide our time together in that this morning by reading Scripture. So Scripture will actually direct us as we pray. You can have, you know, ideas for what to pray about as the Scripture prompts you to do so. And as you listen to the Scripture and take direction, the Holy Spirit will begin to orchestrate our prayers together as the church into what God will make them. And that is very exciting. It's a very exciting work. Why would we do this? Because it's Thanksgiving. And we want to exercise our thanksgiving to God. We want to remember that we have a relationship with God, and we are invited into that relationship with God to enjoy it. To enjoy it. When was the last time you've thought about the fact that you enjoy a relationship with God? And the way you engage that is in prayer and in worship, congregationally as well as individually. So we're going to pray together this morning, and we're going to sing. And then we're going to pray, and then we're going to sing some more. And then we're going to close our time together this morning at the Lord's table, celebrating Holy Communion together. So let me lead us now. Let me do what we normally do and just lead us in prayer. And at the close of my prayer here, we're just going to blend right in. We're going to move right into the Lord's Prayer. If you don't know the Lord's model prayer that He gave us, it's going to be on the screen. So you can pray along whether you know it by memory or not. But let's begin this work of prayer. Let's begin this work of worship. Let's enter into those expressions of trust as a congregation this morning and allow the Spirit to slow us down. Slow us down. so that Thanksgiving and our expression of gratitude during this week would not be such a blur. Would you pray with me? Our Father in heaven, what a privilege it is as a congregation. Some of us came in here today familiar with this place. Some of us came in this building today maybe for the first time. And we have to believe, Lord, that in your sovereign plan, none of us are here by accident. You've gathered every man and every woman, every boy and every girl in this sanctuary space right now, this moment, for purpose. Let no one feel out of place. And draw us in, Lord, not just into an exercise, but the very work of what it means to trust you. And help us to approach a holiday. Father, as Pastor David led us last week, Lord, we know that just having a holiday doesn't make us thankful. It is in this relationship that we have with you. It is our understanding of what you provided for us. It is in that that makes us thankful. It is in knowing who you are. So as the Apostle Paul prayed so many years ago for us, that we would know and that we would experience the very love of our Savior. God, I pray that you would do that work among us now. And help us to enter into your presence, praying as you taught us to pray. When you said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." As we continue in this moment of prayer, notice the direction that we're given in Psalm 95. I have that for you in your notes and on the slide. The great thing about prayer, y'all, is that you understand that what makes Thanksgiving so powerful is that it is a response. It is a response to an understanding of who God is in his greatness, in his ability, but in the character of love, mercy, and grace that he expresses that. The more you know that and the more you understand that, you will understand the importance of thanksgiving. He says in Psalm, the psalmist tells us in Psalm 95, verse 1, to come, to gather together, to do as we are doing here this morning, to sing to the Lord, to shout joyfully to the rock of our salvation. It is the foundation of who God is that actually frames the context for our prayer. The more we understand who God is, more appropriately we will exercise our relationship and the thanksgiving that is involved in it. So let us come, verse 2, let us come to him with thanksgiving. Let us sing psalms of praise to him. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods. He holds in his hands the depths of the earth and the mightiest of mountains. He holds them in his hands. The sea belongs to him, for he made it. His hands formed the dry land too. Come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God. We are the people he watches over. We are the flock under his care. The direction is clear this morning. We should sing and give praise and thanksgiving to our God, for he is the King over all things. He is the Creator of all things, and we approach him humbly. So let us take a few moments and give thanks in prayer. Right there where you are, look for specific things, for everything that we have been blessed to enjoy, the smallest to the greatest, understanding that the greatest gift that we have is that he is the God of our deliverance. He is the God of our salvation. So let this scripture lead you now as we pray together. having established the foundation of the truth about God that we've not only prayed through, but now sung through, it helps us arrive at a context for which we can pray. Some of you came in here today with very, very deep personal concerns. Some of you are like me. You've had conversations in your mind perhaps all week that you've never really made matters of prayer. Some of us would say that we worried about things. We watch the news too much, or we read blogs, or we stay on the internet too long, and we get information that shapes our lives more than our lives can more than God can shape our lives himself. All of this anxiety, all of this desire, all of this concern we bring here today. And we fold it. God folds it into the work that we do as a congregation. That's why it's so very important. One of the reasons to be a part of a church where you can look around and see that we have a shared experience. Sometimes we look better than we actually are. There are things that are just beneath the surface that we live with that are very troubling. Paul says in Colossians chapter 3, verse 15, "Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts." Let the peace that comes from Christ not just have a moment, not just have 1 hour on Sunday, but actually reign, actually have authority over the way you think, over the way you feel, over the circumstances that would bring such downcast upon your soul. Let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For as members of one body, that's what it means to be the church. As members of one body, you are called to live in peace. The peace that comes in your relationship with God, and the peace that comes as a part of the human experience, of what it means to live and to work for peace. Some of us will be those agents of peace as we go into our family dynamics this week. You'll show up in somebody's home this week with concern, some of you with anxiety, and God will ask you in that circumstance to step in there as an agent of peace. As long as it is up to you to work for that, we have the privilege. We have the privilege now, days before we get there, to pray about that. Not by yourself, but in the context of this one body. Some of you are troubled by things that are going on in our world. Some of you are still, you know, riddled with the effects of the last year. And you're like me. Like I said, you've probably thought about that. You live with those thoughts. You think about them all the time, and they may feel like prayer, but are they? To really turn those thoughts and submit them to this great God that we've just sung about is to allow the peace of Christ to rule in our hearts so that we might be agents of that peace in the world. Before we spend some time praying about this, I would invite you to again, Paul says it even more plainly in Philippians chapter 4, 6, and 7, when he says very plainly, don't worry about anything. I remember reading this as a kid thinking, this is the most naive man who's ever lived. Don't worry about anything? Then what should I do? Well, pray about everything. There it is. Pray about everything. All those trivial things that you think in your human mind that God is too important to bother with. No, Paul says pray about that. Tell him. Tell God what you need. And thank him. There it is. Thank him. Give him thanks for all that he has done. Then you will experience God's peace, which exceeds anything that we can understand. To know that there are circumstances in our lives that God can grant us peace, that it becomes unfathomable for us to explain how we're at peace. That's what it means to possess God's peace. To hold something so dear and so close and so secure in the midst of a circumstance that would say, how is it possible for you to have it? Paul says that when you do this, you will experience that. And indeed, it is exceeding anything that we could ever understand about it. And then he says this, his peace will guard you. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. Let's allow that scripture to guide us as we take a few moments to pray together. Our Father in heaven, God, I pray for every concern upon every heart that's in this place this morning, Lord. Where healing needs to happen in the lives of people physically in this place, Lord, I pray that you would grant them miraculous healing. For healing that needs to happen in marriages and families in this place, I ask for miraculous healing. For concerns that weigh us down, for fears that weigh us down with extended family, some of us afraid to even show up for a holiday celebration this week, Lord, because we don't know what we're going to get from the other people in the room. I ask for miraculous healing. For the women in this room, Father, I pray that they would walk in the beauty that you assign them, and that the men in their lives would affirm it. I pray for the women in this room, Lord, that the significance and the security that you have offered them in this relationship as you've made them as their great God. And Father, I pray that they would be privileged and blessed to walk among men who would validate that and support that. I pray for the men in this room, Lord. I pray for the courage and the strength that they can have because they have a relationship with you as their father. Though they may not have had the kind of earthly father that would have validated that, Lord, I pray that you would place men around them in this church that would validate that strength in them. And that you would allow us to walk together as men and women, as friends, as co-workers, as husbands and wives. Father, I pray that we would be privileged to be used by you, where we were ashes, where we may have even been wrecked. Father, I pray that you might use us in a restored manner, physically, relationally, emotionally, and certainly spiritually, Father, to be an authentic representation of your grace and mercy in this world, and that we would truly be peacemakers on a mission this week. Father, for those of us who came in here today weighed down by the circumstances and the concerns, Lord, that are extended from us, those in this place who are blessed to feel the pain of places that others don't even mention. God, I pray for a special peace upon them to know, Lord, that they're not alone in their cry for the world, in their cry for our nation, in their cry for our land. Father, I pray that you would bring revival to our churches and repentance to our nation. God, in the midst of such a buffet of philosophies and religions and worldviews, Lord, it is impossible in our eyes to make this happen. And though we may be an expression of grace in this world to work for peace, you alone are the peacemaker, and we are desperate. We are desperate. So as Pastor David led us last week in an understanding, Lord, that to reject you is to not acknowledge you or even offer you thanks. May we be a people who don't miss the opportunity to live inside that gratitude, to exercise this expression. And Lord, as we move even now into this moment where Jesus Christ is at the center of who we are and what we do. Father, I pray that you would remind us that it is only through him that this is possible. It is only through him and the power of the Spirit he left to indwell the lives of every believer and to indwell the body that is his, the church. Father, we appeal to Christ at the center. Lord Jesus, for the work that you've accomplished and the work that you will accomplish through us, we say thank you and we pray in your name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. When you came in, you should have received the elements in this little cup. If you haven't received this yet, would you please raise your hand so the ushers can get you one of these if you didn't receive one. We have a couple down front, down here. Just raise your hand. I'm sure the ushers will see you if I can't. So I want everyone to have one of these if you can. Thank you. One of the things the Apostle Paul struck me with in Ephesians chapter 3 at the end there was that in his second prayer, he said, "May you experience the love of Christ, though it is too great to understand fully." You can't comprehend the love of Christ. You can look at the cross and you can see what Christ has done. Your blood has washed away my sin, as we just sang. Once your enemy, now seated at your table, which is, again, an acknowledgement of what we're about to do here. We can experience the love of Christ in those ways. And as deeply as we can fathom it, we can experience our whole lives walking with the Lord and still never understand fully the love of God. But we can experience it enough to know it truly. To know the love of Christ. Paul says, so that we might be made complete. When was the last time you felt complete in anything? When was the last time you could actually say it is enough? To understand who God is, to understand who Christ is, to thank him for what he has done, is to understand that you're enough because of him. Amen. To be made complete without lacking. To be full with all the fullness of life and power that comes from God. Luke chapter 22, verse 14. We begin our time of reflection here before we share this meal together by listening to the words of Jesus. Maybe you've never heard them this way before. When the time came, Jesus and the apostles sat down together at the table. The Greeks describe time in a couple different ways. There's chronological time, where we get the word chronos, and there's kind of God's moment, God's sovereign moment. It's often expressed as kairos. To be able to acknowledge that you're here right now in this moment, you're about to partake of this memorial meal, this celebration of what Christ has done, this symbol of thanksgiving to Jesus. Without the notion that you're here by accident. That here's God's moment for you. To sit down together. To sit down together at the table. I think in those images, maybe you will this morning as well, for the first time to see not just the disciples in that archaic upper room around a shoddy table in this simple meal, but that you would actually see your place there at that table. And then to hear Jesus speak these words, not just to his disciples, but to you this morning. To see him look at you with his eyes this morning. To hear him speak these words to you in your ears this morning. To be there in that moment, in that time. And to hear Jesus say to you, "I've been very eager. I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you. I've been very eager to get together with you this moment, this morning. I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you before my suffering begins. What would Thanksgiving be like for you if this was the last year that you would be given the opportunity to sit around the table with the people that you love before you suffer? What would it be like to look around at the faces this year and to consider what it would be if this was your last year? What might you say differently? What might you do differently? How might Thanksgiving in your own life be transformed? I confess that if I don't slow down, that if I don't stop long enough to have this kind of an exercise and this kind of a moment, I'll miss that. Just like I can read over this every time I come to the communion experience and miss it if I'm not slowing enough down to think about it. What does it mean this morning to hear Jesus say to you, "I've been very eager to eat this Passover meal with you"? Let's take a moment, just a moment, and think about that, shall we? And let's respond to the Lord in light of hearing those words. If you'll take a moment and peel back the top piece of plastic, if you haven't already, it separates the aluminum foil piece between the bread and that top part, and you can take the wafer out and then peel back the rest of the foil. That tends to be the way that works best, it seems. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 22 says that Jesus took the cup of wine and gave thanks to God for it, and he said, "Take this and share it among yourselves, for I will not drink wine again until the kingdom of God has come." He took some bread and gave thanks to God for it, and then he broke it in pieces, and he gave it to his disciples, saying, "This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." After supper, he took another cup of wine, and he said, "This cup is the new covenant between God and his people, an agreement confirmed with my blood," Jesus says, "which is poured out as a sacrifice for you. As often as you drink this, you proclaim the Lord's death for you." You say thank you to Jesus. As we close the service today, I pray that this has brought about the beginning of a great transformational work in you and going into the week ahead. Amen. Now may the grace of Christ our Savior and the love of God our Father and the fellowship and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you, go with you both now and forevermore. Go and be the church. Be an extension of that in your world. And let all God's people say, Amen.